Tuesday, January 22nd, episode 4 of Talkin' Schmidt.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Am I recording right now?
Just give it the old cars try right here.
Oh, big dog's in.
Schmitty! What do you think, Schmitty?
Talking Schmidt.
He's so fucking busy.
Shit my pants, lad.
Are you ready?
The most ready.
Let's hear it for Greg Smith. Yeah!
It's Talkin' Schmidt with a whole new intro. What do you think, bros? Is that better? Today we are in the back patio at our favorite restaurant, The Mission, with one of its owners. That's right, kids, we're at Blue Plate. This shit is real. So without further ado, please welcome to the show, Mr. Corey David Obenor.
Thanks for having me, Schmitty.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Not much, just excited. Seems fun.
So where are we right now?
We're at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street in San Francisco. This is my food jail for 20 years.
You were born and raised in San Jose?
Yeah, San Jose, 1970 I started my life, yeah.
What's your relationship to skateboarding?
San Jose was a hotbed when I was little. And my dad and grandpa, my grandpa put my aunt and niece's wheels on an old skateboard. And that was my first board, and it was the old metal wheels, but that didn't really work. And then I think I got another board that somebody made, this guy Bobby Campbell that worked at a junior college with my dad. He made me like kind of a bigger board, and I rode that for a while. And then my dad somehow through his job at the junior college was friends with Joel Gomez at Sessions in Sunnyvale.
Okay.
So I think I got... Later got my first real board there. I think it was like the freestyle Rat Bones wheels that we were riding just to be able to slide on like a mini cab, you know, independence.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I don't know, San Jose, it was going to the Montague Banks and having my mom drop us off at night.
Oh, sick.
And yeah, and then coming back to pick us up.
You hit Fish Banks?
Fish Banks for sure. The Wave, that big white wall.
For sure. Did you get hit? Were you cabs ramp at all?
Never went to cabs ramp. No, mm-hmm. I kind of just had my spots. I always kind of laid low. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of street skating back then.
Yeah.
I mean, that was more or less the start of it. And then, you know how it goes from there.
Yeah. So I read on your website that in 1999, two friends from college who knew nothing about opening a restaurant did exactly that. Talk about those early days.
I can kind of fuck that up a little bit. There was four friends, but you know what? The way it went was this is exactly how it went. I had moved from Santa Cruz to San Francisco to go to culinary school.
Uh-huh.
And I was filling out financial aid papers, and I had this woman chef that was awesome, Wendy. I don't know where she is these days, but she told me one night after work, she's like, "Don't go to culinary school. You're going to end up, you know, paying a ton of money and you're almost there." She's like, "Just put your nose in the dirt and go grind." And I was like, "You think so?" She said, "Yeah." And the thing that stuck out of my mind is she said, "I paid like $80,000 or $90,000 and for a whole quarter I learned to carve like a swan out of ice." She's like, "I'll never fucking do that again."
Oh, man.
You know, so I was like, I went home that night and burnt my application papers and never looked back.
Right.
So the other advice she gave me, she's like, "Go to small restaurants and be the best worker you can. Give them everything you have. And once you're absorbed everything you have to learn, this is your culinary school. Go to the next one. Thank them, give them time, and go to the next one and do it again."
Yeah.
And then once you do that, keep doing it until you feel like you have nothing else to learn. So I took her words and kind of did that, you know.
So you worked in a lot of restaurants.
A lot of restaurants around the Mission, yeah. Uh-huh. I just kind of looked, I'd ride up and check out their menu, and if it looked like something I wanted to do, I liked the food, I liked the way it looked inside. I would go for it, and I would do exactly what she said. I'd be honorable, give them everything I had,
right,
and learned everything I could, thanked them, and moved on.
Did you have a favorite?
I really like working for this punk rocker from Texas, this guy Jay Ewing, at this restaurant that's on Bryant Street, Bryant 20th.
Uh-huh.
It was called Tassan, but now I think it's still Blowfish. It was in the Blowfish building.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was in that building. That was like 25 years ago.
Sick.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Wow.
And that was right around the corner from Atlas Cafe, and that was just a good time. But what came of that was I started doing all these restaurants and stuff, and there's something I didn't like about every one of them, you know? And, I just didn't like the way they were doing the food. I didn't like listening to this shitty music. I didn't like their weird kind of cookie cutter, bleached, anemic furniture that they chose. Everything about it, I was like, I can do better, you know? And it's something that sticks out of my head, actually. I don't know if you remember the Spaghetti Western that used to be in the Lower Haight like 25, 30 years ago.
No.
Well, there's something burned a hole in my head also. I was like, I went there one morning to go to brunch, and there's a line. I actually remember seeing, I didn't know who he was at the time, Billy Valdez, and he had fronts, like teeth, you know, like fronts in his mouth, like grill. And I was looking at this restaurant, and they're blasting Ice Cube, Kill It Will, and the waitresses were, you know, just punk, tattoos, everything, and it was just complete anarchy, this restaurant. It was like, and I was like, I didn't know it could be like that.
Right.
You know, I'd never seen that before. I was like, They didn't care if, you know, it was the music was too loud or their, you know, whatever lyrics there were, or and it was just it set something off inside me that kind of went below and just kind of simmered forever, and it stayed there. And then I had my last night at this restaurant that I didn't really like on New Year's Eve, and then I went out on New Year's Eve and did it up and was hellishly hungover the next day, and I went to Atlas Cafe at 20th in Florida or whatever.
Yeah.
And I ran into a friend I hadn't seen who ended up opening this place with me, but he had done the same thing on a New Year's dinner the night before, and he just had a hellish time. And him and I sat down in the sun, hungover, drinking coffee midday, and we're just like, dude, I can't stand these restaurants. He's like, they made me put this bourbon glaze on this local, this beautiful salmon. He's like, I almost couldn't do it. I almost just walked out the back door.
Right.
The back door was open. I could see the get out. He's like, but he's like, we got to open a restaurant. And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like 27 and broke, you know?
Yeah.
But I liked the idea.
Get
and
it.
He's like, we should make a restaurant. But I didn't think he was, you know, like, I didn't think it was a realistic thing, because I was broke. I was like living in my friend's loft for $150 a month. And that's all I had to come up with. No utilities. I didn't know anything else. And I was just, I didn't have any money, you know. I was like just kind of living and jumping in the van and going to Greer and just whatever, you know. But so anyways, he called me the next day after that New Year's Day meetup, and he was serious. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to stick my nose in the dirt and see if we can do this. So I went and met him at 24th and Bryant in the Mission, and he had a yellow pad of paper and some pens and, like I said, the bottle of Carlos Rossi, and we sat down and we're like, what do we got to do? And we didn't know anything. And looking back, that was our strength, because we didn't know how gnarly it was going to be, what was ahead of us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I look back in retrospect, I'm all, if I knew I had to do that, I might have just fucking sandbagged it.
Right.
But, like, doing it, like, with, like, a horse with blinders, what I had to do each day, like, made it possible, because I wasn't looking too far ahead, and I didn't know what it was going to do, which was kind of rad, you know? So, So anyways, we were sitting there, and we're like, what do we got to do? We're like, we got to find a place. And we knew that we had no money. So we needed to find a place, and we thought that we had to find a place with a hood, because we knew even back then putting a hood in was $30,000, you know? So we needed. So what we figured out was we had to find a place that had been closed, that had a hood already,
right?
That we didn't have to buy from anybody. We're not buying their business, you know? So it was like a needle in a haystack. So we got in our Dodge Dart every day, you know, we got coffees and fills and just cruised and looked for rent, you know, and this is like 1998, you know, and we looked at so many places, you know, and just finally we stumbled upon here, but you know, 3218 Mission, and it was closed, and it was a trip, like, you know. So we finally, you know, got in here, and it looked like a scene from like a Western movie. Like they stopped the scene and everything was in place. Like the cash register was open. There was like cups of coffee that had dried up. It had been empty for 11 months.
That's like,
and
Bodhi.
Like there's pots on the stove. It was creepy, man.
Wow.
Creep salad.
Ghost
we,
town.
But we, so we, you know, we kind of looked at it and we're like, there's the hood.
Yeah.
You know, and it was straight out of 1970s. You know, it was like nothing had changed. It had wood paneling walls, all the ceilings were like as low as they could go with fluorescent lighting.
Whoa.
And anyway, somehow we got the lease, you know, we pulled it off and we got the keys. And I remember the first day we had an old boombox with cassettes.
Yeah.
Black Sabbath and like, I forget what else. And we had crowbars, baseball bats, hammers, and we put paper over the walls and we got a bottle of Jim Beam. And there was four of us. Two other friends, the good friends, got in on it.
Uh-huh.
And we just started going crazy. We knocked up the ceiling first and got a flashlight and realized we had high ceilings. And we're like, fuck yeah, that's awesome. Because it was like claustrophobic.
Yeah.
And just started knocking in walls, knocking shit down, just demolishing it. Just drinking whiskey, pounding. And The one thing we noticed right when we walk in the door was this from the 1950s, this big deco plate, blue plate. It was a big blue plate.
Oh.
And we had been haggling over all these shitty ass names for the restaurant, you know, while we're driving around the car, and they were bad. Like we had one like back burner, like put it on the forget it.
Yeah.
Put it on the back burner. Just I don't remember the rest, but we just so anyhow, we were like, fuck it, let's just call it Blue Plate. That's it. That's the name of the restaurant. We don't have to go back and forth.
Yep.
And everyone's all cool. That's it. No matter what. We'll shape it around that.
Okay.
You know? And we broke the plate the next day. And we're like, dude, is that bad luck or good luck? And we're like, we're going to call it good luck. That's it. That's a good luck charm. We busted it. It's like breaking champagne against a boat.
Right.
So fuck it. We're going to go forward with this. So we did. And we made a pact to work every single day. We did all the construction. We had friends from the mission come in because we didn't have, like, what we did, we started with 12 grand each, 48 grand. That was our budget.
Whoa.
These days, you need at least $1 million to get anything open.
Yeah.
So we had 48 grand in the bank, you know. I mean, I remember I sold my snowboard gear and shit, everything,
yeah,
to, like,
make
you know, to make it happen, anything I had. And
what year was that?
1998.
98.
And so we made a pact that we worked every single day, 7 days a week.
Yeah,
holidays, no matter what.
Yeah.
Like there was no, sorry, mom, I'm not coming home. You know, that's it. There's no, you know,
right.
Except for one of the first couple of weeks, I ate a bowl of Wake and Bake cereal and was riding my board up Mission Street and rolled right over here in this intersection. I rolled right over by the bar right there. And got smacked by a minivan.
Oh.
I flew over the crosswalk.
At the Argus or
By the Argus, yeah, by the Iron and Gold now.
Okay.
Landed on a manhole. And I went to General for 2 days and I was just in bed with like, I chipped my hip and like, you know, all just whatever. But anyways, it took me out for a week, but then I was kind of slowly just got back in there.
Yeah.
We just did everything. We mudded the walls. I spent 4 days in this back dining room,
yep,
with my Rector knee pads on.
Yeah.
And I chipped away at four different decades of linoleum, like 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And then I found wood floors.
Right.
And those are the wood floors back there. I was like, I remember being, I found wood. And everyone's like, woo. So it took me 4 days with a hammer and chisel because it was so many years. It got hard and stuck, you know.
Right.
So I had to do that. And we had to rip out the kitchen. Do everything, you know.
Uh-huh.
Our friends did all the electric.
Did Toad do the electric?
Toad's done like electric here for us, but not the bulk of it.
He's
like saved our ass a ton of times.
Yeah.
You know, and his brother, actually, Demetrius, has saved us. What's up, Demetrius? He saved us on a Valentine's Day when it was like pouring rain.
Yeah.
We had to go 100 feet up onto this building and put like, we had to pulley a new hood fan.
Wow.
We had 160 reservations that we had to call back to cancel.
Yeah.
And his his Toad's brother is gnarly. He came over.
He is.
And he drove down to San Jose, picked it up in like crazy storm, went up on that roof, which was angled like this and covered in moss. It was, and we were up there for 5.5 hours, and we got it, got the hood running at 4:30 before we opened at 5, and then came down and cooked. It was insane. But anyways, we did our months, and we got open. We basically ran out of money, so we had to open with no sign in the front, no coffee cups, no. I mean, I went on, this went on forever. We didn't have the extrusions on the side of our tables.
Do you remember the date?
Yeah, May 1st, 1999.
Oh.
And we had a party. We had our opening night, but basically what happened is we so didn't know what we were doing that we ran out of food by 7, and then we just gave away all our booze. And there, it was like people was so packed, and it was just nuts, that we closed for a week and kind of with our tails between our legs and got it back together. And then we opened it back up, you know?
Right.
And our one of the friend's dads bought our wine and beer because we didn't have it on his credit card at BevMo. And it was just winging it style. But, you know, I look back, the food was good, and the food was also just really bad because we really kind of knew what we were doing, but we kind of didn't, you know? Not that we do now, but a little more polished. But anyways, so that was the start, you know, and that was almost 20 years ago. This may be 20.
How many head chefs have you gone through in the 20 years?
I did it with that original guy for the first 4 or 5 years. It's a little, the chronology is a little blurry, but like 4 or 5 years. And then our friend Jonah Oakden, that's the current chef at Boulevard.
He
came in, and he was really talented. He really set us straight, and we were doing some good stuff, but he kind of polished everything off. Thanks, Jonah. He kind of set our ship in a good direction.
That was like 2005.
That was probably like 4 or 5. Yeah, early on, he came in and just like, he's just really talented, creative. He's like got a good appreciation for the craft. And then we've had a bunch of other people after that, you know, kind of helping me out. And then when I had my first kid, I kind of couldn't be around as much. Mm-hmm. And another great one, Sean Thomas. You know Sean?
Yeah.
Big handsome guy. Sean, he rules. He's a ruler, lifetime ruler. He came in and did it for three and a half years, and then he went to New York at WD50, which is that food science restaurant with Wiley Dufresne's. Learned a lot of tricks and different stuff there, and then came back for 5 years.
Sick.
Yeah,
that guy was the man.
He is. His food's good. It's inspired. He holds the bar high every single day.
Okay, cool. So, on average, how often do you see Felper in here?
Depends when he's on the road, but he usually comes in the first Monday when he gets back from the road.
So
anywhere from twice a month to sometimes 5-6 times a month. You know, he'll come in during the day, and like I said, he'll sit in the office for a couple hours and text. And who's Clambake? He always has somebody's number in his phone, Clambake.
I don't know.
He's always
got
cracks me up.
Crazy.
I know, totally. But anyways, at least, you know, 3 times a week he'll come and sit at his corner seat by the skateboards, and all the waitresses know him, and he's just kind of like, he seems like he's just part of the family, you know. Comes in an hour before, like this, you know, earlier.
Yeah.
And he'll hang out and talk, and he likes his cherry limeade, and he likes his beets. He doesn't like eggs. He doesn't like tomatoes. He likes the steak medium well.
He hates tomatoes,
you know. Yeah, and we got it down. And he eats a lot of food.
Is he eating the same thing every time, or does he change it up?
He changes it up.
Okay.
He loves beets. But he'll surprise you. But
right.
He's a good eater. He appreciates food. You know, you can tell he's had a lot of good food around the city and around the world.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Yeah.
He's done that.
Yeah.
Has there been like any like crazy disaster or anything, like a fight in here that got super crazy? Have you seen any mission ruckus that like carried, I don't know, anything that was like, geez, that night sucked?
There's so much that I have a hard time remembering. But you know what I was sticks out in my head is my business partner, Jeff, we used to have the 4 business partners, like I said,
mm-hmm.
but 2 of them were got out. Like, this is either sink or swim sort of business. Either you're in or you're out, you know
okay.
what I mean? So 2 of them after a year were like, I'm gone. We're like, all right, it's not your thing. Go for it, which I get, you know. And but anyways, my business partner, Jeff, one of my best friends in life, I think that's why we've made it 20 years, because him and I are yin and yang or whatever you want to call it. Like, we just kind of we get each other, you know. So, but anyways, he had one of those Mercedes diesels engine cars things that he's like, I'm going to get one of those and put our fryer oil in there. So I'm not paying for gas, you know, fuck the man, you know. And I was like, sick, let's do it. So we had an 80 gallon drum downstairs, and he bought all this filtering equipment and stuff like that. And him and our neighbor, Whitney, who used to own Cafe Abo up the street, RIP Whitney. But anyways, they shared it. And they basically, was like right out front on Mission Street, was like a gas station. Wow. They'd pull up, they'd, you know, this filtered fryer oil, and they'd fill up their tanks, and they'd rocked it for years.
Oh, wow.
But then one time Whitney came by to fill up his tank, you know. And I came in, he had a glass of espresso, high-fived and hugged everybody and filled up his tank, and he's gone. Uh-huh. You know, I didn't think much of it. So, you know, it's busy-ass night, pans are banging, fires are flaming and everything. And when the cooks go, dude, go get me, I need more meatloaf downstairs. So I go downstairs, and he didn't shut the valve. Oh. So we had 80-plus whatever gallons of 2-inch thick oil. Fuck. Filled our cellar, our basement downstairs.
Holy shit.
Like, so high that it was like up into my like Birkenstock plastic shoe thing. Like, and it was like the Exxon Valdez. I was like, how do you clean this up? You know? God. And I called him all, dude, you got to get back here. He's like, I'm going out, I got this. I'm all, no, dude, you got to get back here right now. Uh-huh. And he came back and his chin dropped. You know, I'm like, I didn't know where to start. And I was like, dude, you need to go to Home Depot and buy some kitty litter. And he went and bought like 500 pounds.
Holy
and
shit.
And we had dude, it was hazmat. It was gnarly. It was like,
how long did that take to clean
it? It never really, I mean, we got it the same. It took months, and we power washed it, but it just never felt the same. You know, it's like, damn. It was like so much oil. Like, that's a big basement. It's so, I mean, that happened. What else? I mean, it's like,
any hospital trip?
I always think after this job, I could do anything. Because right. Every day you walk in, there's a water heater breaking. Someone's calling in sick with a lie, or, you know, there was something really that happened. Someone cuts their wrist. Someone burns. I mean, I saw a cook that was searing this guy, Brian Murphy, kind of a cook legend. Fucking, he was cooking these pork loins, and he must have had this oil like 700-800 degrees.
Yeah.
And he went to dump it in the compost right before we opened. And somebody said something, he turned his head and slipped, and the oil went down his arm and over his hand.
Damn.
And it was like, that's hot. I was smoking it, like, and so he put his hand under the cold water immediately and turned on the faucet, and I watched like 18 inches of his skin peel off, and I could basically see under his skin, like the cold water just took it off. And so this dude was like, I was like, dude, you got to go to the emergency right now. He's like, no way. He's like, it's a Friday. He's like, I'm not going. I'm all, dude, you can't we'll close, we'll do less covers, it doesn't matter. You got to go. He's like, dude, I'm not going. He's like, I'm gonna go outside and have a cigarette. He's like, and I come back, make sure I have a metal third pan full of ice water. He's like, I'm gonna cook with one hand, and we're gonna get to this Friday, and I'm gonna go to the ER after service. And I cooked next to the dude all night long with his arm, and we had our wait staff kept bringing him ice to replenish it, and he'd carry it from when he was plating over to the grill and kept his arm in it.
No way.
And then he went to the ER afterwards. It was insane. You
Holy
know?
Shit.
It's something all the time, really.
Wow, that's
you know?
Sick.
Yeah, it was like,
it's
and
like
I couldn't
the opposite.
Tell him any different, you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell him any different. I was like, because I didn't want him to stay. I didn't want to be responsible for that. I didn't want him to feel like that.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know? Nothing. Yeah, I think he's like, yeah, give me a Guinness, one Guinness, that's all I want, and an aspirin and an ice bath full of ice, and I'm good. I was like, all right, here we go.
Damn.
I was like 2003 or something. Yeah. Insane.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm sure you see crazy shit. I worked in the restaurant for a little bit, actually for like 8 years. And you see what it's kind of cool, because you're almost like an actor. You just come in and you're in this movie.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
In real life, shit happens. There's emotions, people bitch.
Oh, yeah.
People are stoked. It's like you're just kind of rolling, and you know, it's like
the thing that you said that stuck out to me was every day is crunch time, and when somebody calls in sick last minute, that's a fucking, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Because you're like, okay, we're understaffed. How am I going to get somebody to come in 5 minutes, asshole?
Yeah, totally. Seriously, yeah.
I don't care
especially
if you're hungover.
Especially with a dishwasher, you know? Yeah, I don't care if you're hungover. Come and have another beer. Just work. Yeah, something. I don't know.
One of our friends is up in your bathroom, Maria.
Yeah.
There's a photo of her. Legend has it that thing's been taken quite a few times.
I hear 7 times, 11 times. I think it's probably around 7 times.
Wow.
But people love that. And
they actually steal it.
A lot of people say, why don't you just do what Zeitgeist does and just bolt it to the walls? And I'm like, you know, we're not Zeitgeist, you know? respect, but we're just... You know, I'm not going to bolt some to the wall. Somebody wants to steal it, steal it.
Yeah.
And a cool story about that was probably after it had been stolen like 4 or 5 times, at the end of the night, like on a rainy night, it was probably 9:30, we close at 10, in Shannon, because she's so approachable and warm and lovable, and people sense that. This woman came in and sat by herself and ate, and then she was done eating. She said, hey, Shannon, or hey, you know, Miss, whatever. And she said, can I confide in you? And Shannon said, sure, what do you got? And she said, well, 10 years ago, I used to be a drug addict and an alcoholic and stuff, and I did a lot of bad stuff. And she's like, I've been sober for a long time, and I'm just out trying to right any wrong that I can. Some are not reparable, but some are. She's like, and I stole this this picture a decade ago.
No way.
And I want to return it. She's like, will you take it and not tell anybody at least till I get out of the building? And Shannon said, yeah. And she gave her the painting, and we got the original back, you know.
Wow.
Luckily,
she was doing her amends through AA or something, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, luckily Dave Schubert always stokes us out, and he swipes back by with
one. He shot the photo.
Yeah, Dave Schubert. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, he's always wanted our bathrooms as his zone. So
are they all his photos?
They're all his, except for that, who's the tennis player on one of the bathrooms?
Bjorn.
Andre, I guess. Bjorn Borg.
Bjorn Borg.
Is it? No, Johnny.
McEnroe.
John McEnroe.
Yeah.
It's an old John McEnroe 70s picture that's pretty sick that we put up. And so that's not his, but everything else is his. And he kind of runs the roost on the bathrooms. And
sick.
Yeah.
You know the story behind that photo? Like, has Schubert ever told you like the era or what it is?
It was at the Uptown bathroom. And she had a trick where she would tie matches to her nipple.
Uh-huh.
And they would stay on them, and then she'd light them.
Right.
And I think they were at the Uptown, you know, probably just average mid-90s night. And, you know, Schubert's always got his camera on him all the time. And I've known him for like 30 years, and he's always with camera, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think he just said, hey, step up on the toilet in this bathroom, do your trick.
Yeah.
You know? And she did. And I just think everything was aligned. It was just a cool picture, you know
it
what
is?
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And, yeah. So
I remember
first time I came here, I saw it.
I was like, I know her.
Yeah. So I mean, Brian Anderson was here like on New Year's Eve, and he was saying that, I don't know if this is true or not, that she might be a little slut shamed about that picture. And I'm like, why? That's like 25 years ago. It's like almost like what we're just talking about. It's like, I don't know, whatever. But
that's the new trend. People want to kill you for 20 years ago. They don't want to attack you for who you are now.
Exactly, which is fucked.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, it's a cool picture. And
shout out to Schubert. He's the man.
Yeah, and Maria.
Yeah, Maria too. Every time we come in here, I swear to God, I don't think there's been one time where I've come here where I haven't gone to the bathroom, taken a photo of it, and texted it to her.
Really?
And she's like, ah.
She's probably over it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But that's great, though. You know, she gets her San Francisco love.
Yeah. Represent. Yep.
We just got a text message from Brad Staba. He said to ask you about your art collection.
My art him and I were probably... He's probably drinking gin, and he doesn't drink tonic because it's fattening. It's too much sugar. And I was probably drinking Fernet, and him and I were sending videos back and forth at like 1 or 2 in the morning at our houses. And so I made him just a video of my house and some of the art.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what he's specifically thinking about. I got some cool Gone stuff that Mickey's given me and Jake's given me.
Oh, rad.
You know, that's really cool. And old Chris Johansson stuff that's like a big ass one that's sick. Really, really dope. And yeah. Some Jason Jagle stuff that's really, whatever. Just through the years, I've just kind of collected stuff. And I mean, that's probably what he's talking about. I don't know.
It's probably.
It's just, yeah, some Choner art up on my walls in my house. Yeah.
And our token name drop question, has there ever been somebody famous that's come in to dine here? Somebody that you recognized? If so, like who would be the most?
Let's see here. Yeah, through the years, yeah. You know who came into the people really dig a lot is the dude that makes the Pink Flamingo movies with the skinny mustache.
Oh, John Waters.
John Waters used to come in here a lot, like all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He gives Jason and Jesse a Christmas card every year.
Does he?
In the mail, yeah.
Yeah.
Sick.
I mean, there's been so many, like, you know, rockers and models and whatever. I mean, uh-huh. I don't even know who's the one, like, where we freaked out about. Uh-huh. One time, not Jimmy Kimmel, but what's the other late night host guy?
Jimmy Fallon?
Jimmy Fallon came in.
Really?
Which was a trip, and he ate right here on this table. And the thing that I remember was he got here, and before he ate, he's like, can I get a vodka Red Bull? And I was like, dude, we don't have, we just have beer and wine, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, you really want one? He's like, I kind of do. And I'm like, why? He's like, it gets me juiced to eat and it keeps me juiced after I go out. And like, I was like, I'll hook it up. I got you. So I went and got like some Sky vodka. Yeah. I just went up to the you know, Murder Mart up the street and got some stuff and, made him a couple of those. And, I just thought it was funny that Jimmy Fallon wants vodka Red Bulls
but
before
you're
his
not
meal.
The type of restaurant that gets photos of all those people and have them in your office or
we are the opposite. Like yeah. I don't ever take pictures of people, take pictures with people.
Okay.
Any of that. I just because, you know what I mean? I just want them to feel comfortable here.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because people on any given night, people are in here that are, you know, notable or whatever.
Yeah.
And I forget who, like, it wasn't Cameron Diaz. There was another blonde actress that had friends that lived up here in Burl Heights, but she had people call all day to make sure she was in a play. Who was it? It was Meg Ryan. Whatever. One of those famous actresses. And, you know, we don't do anything different. We don't bug them. I told the waitstaff to leave them alone. And, you know, I think they like that because they probably get it everywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so not here, you know, like leave them the fuck alone. Let them be a normal person for a while because it's got to be exhausting, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but it totally depends though, because I've heard both ways. I've heard people be offended. Like they didn't even ask me for a photo. It's like, don't you complain about that all the time?
Sorry, we didn't powder your feet tonight, but it's like, no, not here. That's just not us. You know, there's places, plenty of places that'll do that, but it's not us. That's it, you know.
Well, Sick, I really appreciate you taking the time out for me to come down here and
this
do this.
Yeah.
One last thing. Yeah. Got to mention this. Got to hype this up. You fucking helped us out big time when we were doing the OJ show.
That was sick. Yeah, that was fun. I'd love to do more stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I love seeing the end product. I love seeing everyone rip down Mission Street and, you know, get off and come on in. And that was a good crew. It was Jason. It was who else?
Me,
was it?
Jason and Cranberry. And Pat Duffy.
Yeah, Pat Duffy. That's right. Yeah, that was fun.
And then we were in here. Actually, another plug is we were here on Jason's birthday the night we went to see Morrissey.
That's right.
We came here and ate here first. And that was one
with Joe Brook. And,
one of the most special nights of our lives. Like, Morrissey set was insane. We came here, had epic food. And it was just the three of us bro-ing down. And
Jason still talks
about that
really?
As being like one of his favorite birthdays
of all
time.
Do you remember? I gave him a t-shirt for his birthday. What did it say on it? You don't remember, do you? I thought it was like
I might have a photo somewhere.
I don't care. I just thought, I was like, what was it? What was on that t-shirt?
Yeah.
But whatever.
Whenever the bros come to SF, though, we come to Blue Plate because they take care of us and it's delicious and it is comfortable arrangement and everything. So. If you're in San Francisco, come down and try the fried chicken would be my recommendation.
Yeah, fried chicken and meatloaf all day, every day.
Thanks a lot, Corey. I really appreciate it. And if you guys like what you're listening to, you could always subscribe. And this has been another episode of Talkin' Schmidt. Take care, and we'll see you next week.
Right on.